Russia holds a presidential election this Sunday. Despite massive anti-government protests recently, Prime Minister Vladimir Putin is widely expected to win. If he does, he'll return to an office he held from 2000 to 2008, and he'll continue his run as Russia's most powerful politician. Putin is the subject of a new book called The Strongman, Vladimir Putin and the Struggle for Russia. The author is Angus Roxburgh, a journalist who once served as a public relations advisor to the Putin-run Kremlin. Roxburgh said Putin's time in the KGB really shaped his worldview.
I very much have the feeling that he retains from that period a great suspicion of the West, even today when there are democratic demonstrations going on in Russia, protests at the fraudulent elections that we've seen recently. He sees that as part of a Western plot to harm Russia, to bring him down.
You know, you mentioned the protests in Moscow, and some thought that when Putin was accusing the West of kind of being behind them, that was for domestic politics. You're suggesting that he genuinely believes that there's some sort of Western interference causing these protests against him.
I really think he believes it very much. He sees it as a continuation of the so-called Rose Revolution in Georgia and the Orange Revolution in 2004.
These former Soviet states, yeah.
Former Soviet states, which decided to choose pro-Western leaders in 2003, 2004. He believed very firmly that the West was behind those protest movements, that this was a Western plot which in the end would come to Russia.
I want to take us back to 2001. Vladimir Putin is new to the Russian presidency. George W. Bush is new to the American presidency. And the two men meet, and President Bush said something that is now very famous.
I looked the man in the eye. I found him to be very straightforward and trustworthy. We had a very good dialogue. I was able to get a sense of his soul.
You wrote in the book that this was very Putin, that he was able to sort of manipulate his own persona if he wanted to make someone, a counterpart like President Bush, feel comfortable. This is very much a part of his strategy.
I think it's part of his KGB training as well. He once told a friend when asked what his job in the KGB was, he put it very vaguely. He said, "My job is to mingle with people." And part of that, I think, is his ability to make people feel very comfortable. With President Bush, I think he exercised that sort of almost control over him. He made George W. Bush believe that Putin was a man he could trust and could do business with.
Manipulation aside, that moment did also seem to be sort of a moment of opportunity for the United States and other Western governments to work with a new Russian leader. And Putin seemed to be giving at least the impression that he believed in democracy, that he believed in economic ties with Europe. I mean, it seemed a real moment of hope for the West coming together with Russia.
Yeah, I think that's right. Nowadays, it's very easy to paint Putin in black and white terms, but actually he's a more complex character. When he first came to power, in those first years, he said quite openly to Western leaders that he wanted to bring Russia back in from the cold. He even spoke about joining NATO. And for him, it was a symbol that Russia could become part of the West again. And I think that he felt constantly rebuffed by the West. He faced an American president in George Bush who was determined to build a missile shield to protect the West from nuclear missiles, which Russia, rightly or wrongly, believed was aimed against them. He also saw the West expanding NATO right up to Russia's borders. From our point of view, there was no malicious intent in that. But from his point of view, it looked as if Russia was being sort of encircled by a military alliance.
Well, let's talk about that feeling of being threatened that Russia had. I mean, did Western powers, did the United States ever understand that, ever see the Russian side of things?
I think there were different opinions in the American administration. You had people like Condi Rice, who is a Russia specialist. She speaks Russian. She's tough on Russia, but she did try to understand where Russia was coming from. And I think that made her stand out from, if you like, the neocons in the Bush administration. And they were the ones who set the tone, really, for America's policy towards Russia. I think the main thing for them was to cement, as they put it, the gains of the end of the Cold War. They believed that the countries of Eastern and Central Europe had gained their freedom. And the one thing that American policy must do in the face of a Putin regime which was cracking down on human rights was to make sure that they would never lose that freedom again.
Let's come to today. If Putin does indeed win this upcoming presidential election in Russia and takes over, returns to the Kremlin, how will things change? What do you expect?
Well, things have changed a lot in the last few months. In December, when there were parliamentary elections, which were clearly fraudulent, there's so much video on YouTube, for instance, you can literally watch ballots being stuffed into boxes and so on. And this has given rise to a protest movement in Russia, which everybody says has really changed things. And even if Putin wins in the first round, as he may well do this Sunday, he has got to take account of this movement somehow. He knows now that his support has been eroded and that he faces a lot of opposition, in particular from the entrepreneurs, the business people that he needs to rely on to build a new Russia. So one way or another, he's got to take account of that.
You know, there was a paragraph towards the end of your book that really struck me, and I want to read it. You said, "The picture of Russia that has emerged from these pages is not the one I would have wished to paint or that I imagined painting 20 years ago." What picture did you imagine painting?
Well, 20 years ago, the Soviet Union collapsed. All the East European countries gained freedom, became democratic. Everybody, I think, hoped that Russia would go the same way. And for a lot of reasons, partly domestic reasons, but also, as I point out in the book, because I think the West mishandled the changes in Russia, it didn't happen. I think the introduction of capitalism, the free market, during the 1990s under Boris Yeltsin was far too quick, far too chaotic, and it meant that a lot of Russian people actually lost faith in the very words democracy and capitalism because it became associated in their minds with nothing but utter chaos and poverty for millions of Russians. Then Putin came along, vowing to put that right, to put an end to the chaos, and in some ways he has done that. But of course, instead of extending democracy, he's cracked down on media freedoms and made things much tighter in Russia. So under both Boris Yeltsin and under Putin, for very different reasons, things have gone pretty badly wrong in Russia. And that's why I feel that it is a shame that the hopes that we all had 20 years ago that Russia would somehow emerge as a real democratic friend of the West haven't materialized.
Angus Roxborough, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
That's the voice of Angus Roxborough. His new book, The Strong Man, is out today. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Renee Montagne.